This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Isaias turns deadly. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Wednesday, August 5th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
At least six people were killed from the damage caused by Tropical Storm Isaias. The storm marched up the East Coast yesterday, causing tornadoes, flooding, and downed trees.
A massive explosion at a warehouse full of ammonium nitrate has rocked Beirut, Lebanon. More than 100 people are dead, thousands injured.
In a closely watched primary, Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall beat Kris Kobach in the Republican Senate race.
And used car dealers desperate to buy your vehicle.
Used car dealers and dealers in general just do not have enough cars to sell. The factories were closed because of COVID in the spring, so there's still a really slow trickle of new cars as the factories get turned back on. And then on top of that, people in early lockdowns were not really visiting the dealerships. Many of them were closed.
Nora Naughton at the Wall Street Journal explains why used car dealers are scrambling for inventory and what it means for buyers and sellers. More than 100 people have been killed and thousands injured in Lebanon after an enormous explosion at a warehouse in Beirut that stores ammonium nitrate. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The explosion leveled buildings for miles and destroyed one of Lebanon's most important international ports and severely damaged Beirut's cosmopolitan city center with its neighborhoods of restaurants and concrete apartment buildings. Ammonium nitrate, which is used for things like bombs and fertilizer, had been kept at the warehouse for the past 6 years. The explosion produced a giant orange mushroom cloud over the city. The blast was so large that residents reported noise and rattling windows some 140 miles away in Cyprus. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The incident was yet another trauma for Beirut residents who have survived wars and numerous bombings in the past. They now face the challenge of rebuilding at a time of strained resources due to the coronavirus pandemic. Tropical storm Isaias turned deadly as it wreaked havoc on the eastern seaboard yesterday. At least six people have died from the storm, which came ashore in North Carolina on Monday night, and more than 3 million customers across five states were without power as of last evening. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says a tornado killed two people and injured several others at a mobile home park in Bertie County.
We have a lot of trees down. We have some storm surge flooding, particularly in southeastern North Carolina. Number of cars floating around.
He was on ABC News. Authorities also said three others were killed by falling trees in Maryland, New York City, and Delaware. Another person died when her vehicle was overtaken by floods in Pennsylvania. Joseph Hicks says wind ripped apart his house in Delaware.
First thought is, thank God that we're here. God spared my wife, mom, and my boys. So we're here. So I can replace a house.
The National Weather Service's Storm Prediction Center said other tornadoes were reported in Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and New Jersey. Congressman Roger Marshall has captured the Kansas Republican primary for the Senate, defeating Kris Kobach with the help of the party establishment. Mr. Marshall, a 59-year-old physician, was supported by Republicans who feared a polarizing figure like Mr. Kobach could lose the traditionally Republican seat to Democrats who could gain control of the Senate. Mr. Marshall got a congratulatory call from the White House.
Well, I want to congratulate everybody and Roger. It's an incredible race. And that's something, now we have to win the one on November 3rd. We have to win a couple of them on November 3rd, comes the thing. But congratulations to everybody. That's a big night.
Mr. Marshall will run in November against the Democratic nominee, State Senator Barbara Bollier, a former Republican who won her primary easily. In Michigan, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said she was confident she would hold off a challenge from local Black leader Brenda Jones, the Detroit City Council president, but results were still trickling in. The Detroit Free Press, by the way, says it could be later today before we know the outcome of that and many other contests.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Trump and public health officials are touting the promise of convalescent plasma therapy as a treatment for the coronavirus disease. What is it and how does it work? We're joined now by Cassidy Morrison, healthcare reporter at the Washington Examiner. Cassidy, explain plasma therapy.
It's an experimental treatment in that it hasn't been proven to work for the coronavirus, but it's been around for about 100 years. It was used in 1918. To treat the Spanish flu. Basically, doctors will take a blood sample from a patient who has recovered from the coronavirus and separate the liquid part, which is plasma, and transfuse it into a patient currently sick with COVID-19. The idea is that the antibodies that helped the previous person recover will kind of bolster the second person's own immune system to fight it.
Okay. So are we seeing right now kind of a new promotion of this old approach?
Yeah. I mean, there have been a few limited studies showing that it could help. And, you know, there was that Tom Hanks story a while ago. He was, donating plasma, thinking that this could make a big difference. And as this pandemic has persisted, we've seen more proof showing that it actually does speed up recovery. And yesterday at his press briefing, President Trump kind of touted the benefits of it and called on people to donate plasma if they could. It takes, an hour at most. So it's definitely getting a lot more attention now. And four former FDA commissioners, including Scott Gottlieb, the most recent commissioner, who's been really outspoken on Twitter, especially about, ways we could be dealing with this. He and three others really endorsed this treatment for its promise and kind of like President Trump, really urged people to not only donate, but to research more and figure out exactly how helpful it might be.
Hmm. We're speaking with Cassidy Morrison, healthcare reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called Convalescent Plasma Therapy Emerges as New Hope for Countering the Coronavirus. Can you, as a donor, say, I'd like this to go toward a coronavirus patient? Or, like, say, if you donate to the Red Cross, are you giving the Red Cross kind of the authority to decide where your plasma goes?
Yeah, I mean, when you go to the Red Cross, you would say, I'm donating plasma as, an effort to, help other COVID patients recover, and they kind of take it from there. Last week, the president went to a Red Cross facility. There were about 13 other healthcare organizations there to launch like a giant plasma drive, essentially trying to bring people in. And, it's kind of this nationwide push, I guess, to get people to go into the Red Cross or even like a lab core, a laboratory like that. You can go in, donate.
The Red Cross right now, its current situation, I know it always welcomes donors, I guess, but it is... Is it necessarily in desperate need of people right now? I don't know, kind of broadly speaking, what the pandemic has meant for donors.
Well, as of right now, they're kind of short on plasma donors, and that's partially due, I guess, to overall a lack of knowledge, I think, that this could actually make a difference. And I think there's been a shortage in just about every sense in, medical supplies and possible treatments when it comes to, remdesivir. And as of right now, you know, I think they're just hoping to get as many people to donate as possible just to be safe and, you know, figure out if this really does help, just like the administration is ordering a ton of experimental drugs, just kind of being prepared that something comes out and it's proven that it works.
Thanks, Cassidy. That is Cassidy Morrison, healthcare reporter at the Washington Examiner. By the way, the Wall Street Journal says hospitalized COVID-19 patients who receive transfusions of blood plasma rich with antibodies from recovered patients reduce their mortality rate by about 50%. That's according to researchers running a large national study on so-called convalescent plasma. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The port of Beirut, Lebanon has been destroyed in a massive explosion and shockwave blast caused by a fire in a warehouse that stored 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. At least 100 confirmed dead, thousands more injured. The explosive material had been sitting in the center of the city for years after being seized as illegal ship cargo.
Number two.
The impact from Storm Isaias will be felt for days, blamed for at least six deaths. It's now spreading rain and gusty winds through parts of Atlantic Canada. At least 20 tornadoes were reported along the East Coast as the storm roared through. In the New York City tri-state area alone, 1.5 million utility customers have lost power from damage caused by rushing floodwaters or gusty winds, or both.
One provider at least said it could take as much as a week to get all of those houses and locations back up to full power.
That's New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
Number three.
Attorneys general for more than 30 states are asking for the federal government to increase the supply and lower the price of the antiviral drug used to treat COVID-19 patients. They call remdesivir stocks dangerously limited and say the cost impedes access. Gilead charges about $3,000 for a five-day course for patients with private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid. In vaccine news, Novavax says its experimental coronavirus shot induced promising immune responses and was generally well tolerated in healthy adults in the first human study. Former Vice President Joe Biden's unveiled a plan to help the U.S. Latino community, calling for more access to affordable health care and overhauling the broken immigration system, his words. President Trump's campaign's threatening to sue the state of Nevada over its plan to mail ballots to all voters. Governor Steve Sisolak.
It is extremely important to me that our citizens do not have to decide between their health and their right to vote.
President Trump tweeted support for Florida's vote-by-mail system, which requires voters to specifically request a ballot. A new truffle's been discovered in 1981. It's like 39 years and recent advances in technology to confirm the fungus sitting in an Oregon State University lab since then is indeed a singular species of red truffle. Mycologists are jazzed, but chefs are not. The taste is apparently not special.
Oh, what about like sautéed in garlic?
Well, you go ahead, but...
Fried.
Meh. It's a meh mushroom.
Sprinkle some cilantro on it. What's...
Knock yourself
here.
Out, Gordon.
We need a better effort there at Oregon State. Come on, don't give up so easily.
It's special.
Thanks, Rasa. Thanks for being with us. When stock prices fall, many investors, amateurs and pros, are scared off. After all, it requires a certain temperament, along with years of investment experience, to ignore the crowd and the prophets of doom. Jonathan Clements, founder of HumbleDollar.com, says, "Want to make good money? Next time the broad market is worth less, do yourself a favor. Step up to the plate and buy more." Jonathan, explain.
So a lot of ordinary investors are just like me. When the market goes down, their instinct is, I'm going to buy more stocks. And why wouldn't you do that? I mean, prices are lower. So that, you know, doesn't that make stocks more appealing? Just like if you go to the stores and prices are lower, doesn't it make whatever you're going to buy at the store more appealing? But according to the clever types on Wall Street, the Wall Street professionals, this is the way the dumb money behaves. And indeed, when everyday investors buy on the dip, some people on Wall Street consider it to be a contrarian signal, some signal that, you know, foolish investors getting involved in the market, and it just means the market is going to head lower. I think they're totally wrong.
Why do they say that?
Well, mostly I think it's because Wall Street has a vested interest in denigrating everyday investors. I mean, if Wall Street could persuade everyday investors they are unfit to manage their own money, what are investors going to do? They're going to turn over their money to Wall Street money managers, to brokers, to mutual fund managers to oversee their money for them. And as a consequence, the profits on Wall Street are going to be higher and the bonuses at the end of the year are going to be larger. So Wall Street has an incentive to basically say, our customers are really stupid and that's why they need us. And I would say, you know, most investors, if they really put their mind to it, could probably figure this stuff out for themselves.
Man, that's not to go off the beaten path here, but that's something you have maintained for years, correct? That the Wall Street money managers seek to denigrate those who are not them?
And it's sort of like, you know, the good people at Ford and General Motors saying, boy, I can't believe those drivers. They're so terrible. You know, nobody, no other industry I can think of goes around bad-mouthing their customers the way Wall Street does. You know, you don't hear Ford and General Motors saying, wow, they were really stupid to buy that car.
To your point about this more broadly, too, if you're not going to buy on the dip, then when are you going to buy?
Exactly. I mean, if you're not going to buy on the dip, when are you going to buy? Should you buy on market rallies instead? Would that be more intelligent to buy when prices have already gone up? What I would say to investors is this. It's really hard to figure out whether the stock market is over or undervalued. We have all these different metrics out there, price earnings ratios, dividend yields, price to book value, and so on. But the fact is, none of them predict the short-term direction of the market. And in fact, they're not even particularly good at predicting the long-term direction of the market. So the best indication of value that we have is price. If prices are lower, the odds are stocks are better value. And if you're an investor who wants to buy when stocks are better value, you should buy when prices are lower. So yeah, the next time the market drops a couple of percent, you know, if you can scrounge around in the sofa cushions and find a little few coins to invest, throw it in the stock market.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements from HumbleDollar.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us and welcome into Wednesday, August 5. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines, more than 100 killed, thousands wounded at a factory explosion in Lebanon. 6 deaths blamed on Tropical Storm Isaias. Congressional negotiators agree to try to nail down a coronavirus bill by the end of the week. Justice Department seeking as much as $18 billion from Purdue Pharma, accused of helping fuel the opioid crisis. Disney says Mulan will be available to Disney Plus subscribers as a download for about $30. And how a town in Maryland celebrated a man's 90th birthday. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is right in the palm of your hand. So you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from your phone with a top-rated app. This is Banking Reimagined. Get started online anytime. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Used car salespeople have long wanted to know what they can do to get you into one of their models. Now they want to know what it will take to get you out of yours. Wall Street Journal reporter Nora Naughton says the reason is because the availability of used vehicles has grown scarce in recent months. Nora, what's happened here?
There's a couple of things that happened, but basically the outcome is used car dealers and dealers in general just do not have enough cars to sell. You know, the factories were closed because of COVID in the spring, so there's still a really slow trickle of new cars as the factories get turned back on. And then on top of that, people You know, in early lockdowns, we're not really visiting the dealerships. Many of them were closed, and many lenders were offering lease extensions as a form of financial relief. So that also loses you your sort of main pipeline of used cars. And then, you know, all of a sudden, demand comes back, and dealers have almost no cars to sell.
Man, so that means what for the average person hanging on to a 3-4-year-old car?
Yeah, I mean, you basically have gold on your hands right now if you're trying to get rid of a car. Either, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people right now, I'm one of them, is thinking about getting rid of one of your cars because now you work from home. You could make a good little mint on anything you want to sell just outright. And if you're in the market for a new car or even a used car, you have a lot more negotiating power on that trade-in than you may have had in the past. I spoke to a guy last week who sold his 2009 Mercury Mariner for $6,200, and he brought the dealer up from their initial offer of $2,000.
That's incredible. So that's an 11-year-old vehicle. Did he have tons of miles on it also or no?
Over 100,000.
Wow.
You know, what you would expect.
Holy cow. And, you know, as part of that, too, this trickle out, explain what you found, too, at some of these virtual auctions where it seems like it's almost like a, you know, a price war that you might see in the housing market.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's sort of classic supply and demand, right? There's not enough cars for these dealers to buy. And so now they're, you know, driving up the prices on all of them with, you know, over 100 dealers bidding on one car. You know, the average price paid at auction went up from, you know, 12,000 to over 14,000, which is an all-time record at the end of June. And in some cases, dealers are buying cars from the auction at the price of MSRP for the same car new. You know, so that's not a great value proposition for the dealer.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, this frenzy in the auction is driving all of these other ways to get cars. That's why they're turning to these customers and sort of asking them, how can we get you out of that car?
We're speaking with Nora Naughton, autos reporter at the Wall Street Journal. So does that mean then if you are shopping for a new car and you're a consumer, that you're likely to pay a premium at the used car dealer?
Yes, which is why it's extra important to know exactly how valuable the car you're trying to turn in is. Because dealers right now are really not going to budge on sticker prices on their used lot. They bought that car for a lot more than it's worth, and they're not going to sell it for anything less. So, you know, really, if I can give any sort of consumer advice here, do your research about the car that you have before you head to the lot. See what it's being listed for at other dealerships. Get a good Kelley Blue Book value on it. Make sure you know exactly what trim level you have, not just your model year, because certain features can be worth more to the dealer. So that's really, you should do more research on the car that you have than the car you're trying to buy right now.
Are there certain vehicles that these used car dealers want more than others? Pickups, SUVs, sedans?
Yeah, SUVs and pickups are really the main thing that they're clamoring for right now. They'll take almost anything they can get. But, you know, the need for SUVs and pickups is driven by this slower pipeline from the factories. So, you know, in sort of the middle of the country or places like Texas, pickup trucks are really the bread and butter of the domestic dealers.
Thanks, Nora. Nora Naughton, Wall Street Journal autos reporter. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The T-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic T-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts T-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town. and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts t-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, here's one of those stories that Jennifer's probably happy she's on vacation for and even happier that she's not a part of. How would you like to walk into your bathroom, close the door, and peer into your toilet bowl to see a 4-foot-long snake come slithering out? That childhood fear was lived out by a Colorado woman who had this happen to her last week. Miranda Stewart of Fort Collins told local TV that it all started when she realized her toilet wouldn't flush. When she leaned in closer to investigate, a snakehead slithered up, terrifying her. It took the apartment complex's maintenance man nearly 40 minutes to finally free the snake. It's unclear how the corn snake ended up in the pipes and slithered into the toilet. They believe it may have been the pet of another tenant in the apartment complex and escaped through their toilet.
Wow. Thanks a lot, Unit 20B.
Right. And not surprisingly, after this happened, nobody came forward to claim the snake afterward. So I think the maintenance man actually just wound up keeping it as a pet.
Oh, is that right?
But they put out a notice like, "Hook, we found somebody's snake," and nobody wanted to own up to the fact that they left the cage open or whatever they did to let the snake out.
That's, I tell you what, as a suburban New Jersey guy, snakes were not my thing growing up.
Yes.
So I like to keep my distance. These types of stories, though, they never happen to like a reptile expert.
No.
Like, silly corn snake, come out of the toilet.
Yeah, it's always somebody who's had nightmares since they were a kid about snakes attacking them where this happens. And if we've learned anything, Gordon, during the pandemic, it's that unnecessary touching of other humans is not the best idea right now. That's why one pub in Spain has, we think jokingly, banned the popular Neil Diamond sing-along song Sweet Caroline. As you likely know, the 1969 hit features the lyrics, "Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, and touching you," all of which are no-nos in the COVID-19 era. A sign was posted in Murphy's Irish Bar in Coralejo, Spain, saying that the song has been banned due to COVID-19. Now, it's thought to be a joke meant to demonstrate the importance of social distancing. Karaoke is allowed at bars in the country, but venues are required to make sure singers are at least 3 meters from each other while performing.
Ooh, it's hard to do duets in that scenario, right?
Yes, unless you're like on opposite sides of the room from each other. In my case, that would be a problem because I can't see far distances very well without my glasses. So if you and I were doing a duet from across the bar, I might not be able to make you out. Our timing might be a little bit off.
Oof, to say the least. Wow. All right, so solo performances always, or only.
Yes.
He did, by the way, Neil Diamond, to his credit, did like the coronavirus version of this.
He did,
right?
Yes.
Washing hands instead of touching hands.
Yes, we talked
hands.
About that back in March. Yes, washing hands. Go, Neil.
I remember you doing that story. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Remember those lofty goals you had for getting fit at the beginning of lockdown? Here's how to regain your motivation, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal. First, experts say don't beat yourself up. Whatever you did or didn't do doesn't matter at this point. Focus on the present and what you can do now. Perfection is not possible or sustainable, and there will be good days and bad days. When it comes to food, focus on the positives, like the foods you can have and choices you can make, rather than the negative. One expert says sometimes it helps to replace instead of erase. If you've had 5 or 6 days of bad food and drinks, instead of negating those behaviors entirely, just choose different food sources. Instead of chips, choose baby carrots. Instead of that glass of wine, go for a sparkling seltzer. Put it in a fancy glass if that helps. And finally, think of workouts in terms of short term, not long. The important thing is to do something. Some days that will be more, and other days it will be less. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Deadly explosions felt by millions in Lebanon rocked Beirut with the force of an earthquake, followed by a shockwave that blasted a mushroom cloud of debris and seawater into the air, destroying the city's port. Dozens are confirmed dead, thousands wounded, overwhelming hospitals already stressed by COVID-19.
Number two.
The remains of Tropical Storm Isaias are trekking across the border to Canada after tearing inland across the mid-Atlantic through New England, spreading flooding, rain, damaging winds and tornadoes along and ahead of its path yesterday. Massachusetts firefighter Jonathan Plant lost two vehicles and watched as it happened.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. They're insured. What can I say? It's, you know, that's what you have it for. Nobody got hurt. That's all that matters.
The storm's fury sent trees crashing into homes and electrical lines and bent power poles and signposts.
Number three.
The daily tally of new coronavirus cases in the U.S. is edging lower at roughly 45,000. It's the smallest daily gain in a month, according to data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. At his coronavirus news conference, President Trump promised his administration will stay on top of it.
Where embers flare up, we must engage immediately, and that's what we're doing. This is the science-based approach, and that's good with us.
The Wall Street Journal reports state agriculture officials are urging the Postal Service to stop delivering those mysterious seed packages that have been arriving in mailboxes across the country. Federal officials believe they're coming from China, and they're concerned they could introduce weeds, pests, or diseases that could harm U.S. agriculture. Changes at the Ford Company. Current Chief Operating Officer Jim Farley will take the reins following the retirement of CEO Jim Hackett. In a true sign of the times moment, Farley made clear the competition Ford faces in years to come includes Apple and Amazon. When you hear kids ask what happened to the dinosaurs, you don't tend to suggest cancer. But Canadian researchers have diagnosed an aggressive malignant bone cancer and osteosarcoma for the first time ever in a dinosaur. They found it in the lower leg of a Centrosaurus apertus when they took another look at what they had thought was an old bone fracture in the fossil.
No kidding. That is something.
Who thinks of that?
Yeah, and who studies that? Who thinks, let's take another look at something
scientists
like that, right?
Scientists do that. That's
not,
it.
Not radio broadcasters, is that what you're thinking?
Not so much. Yeah. One look at a fossil is good for me.
Leave it to the professionals. Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Good story from the Washington Post about a 90-year-old man whose community gave back to him for his efforts during the pandemic. In late March, as the novel coronavirus took hold and local hospitals faced a shortage of personal protective equipment, Dan Wilkins of Chevy Chase, Maryland, saw an opportunity. His daughter Diane got him acquainted with a sewing machine. They looked up how to make masks, and Mr. Wilkins was off and running. She estimates her father spent the final months of his 89th year working 10 hours a day. Mr. Wilkins has made more than 300 masks. Most of them have gone to Suburban Hospital in Bethesda. Thinking of ways to make his 90th birthday special during lockdown, Diane ordered a surprise drive day birthday party parade. The local police and rescue squad were part of the drive-by. On Saturday, all of Mr. Wilkins' children were gathered wearing matching shirts that read, "Aged to Perfection," with a picture of his face on it. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.